Welcome to the program. We go into hour number two. I'm Jim Rome. As I mentioned at times, this is hour number one for some of you. So good morning, good afternoon. What's cracking? Nice to have you here. If you missed hour number one, you really should rectify that. It was a good, good first hour. Of course, we're shot out of a cannon every day for hour number one. However, the show is consistent, start to finish, and we go into hour number two. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. If you're on hold, stay there. If you're not on hold, get on hold. Plenty to talk about. Right now, as promised, we are joined by the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. He was hired on January 16th, 2023. He has spent 22 seasons in the NFL. He previously served as the Tennessee Titans director of player personnel. He did that for three seasons, 2020 to 2022. He also spent 14 years with the Patriots in a variety of front office roles, including director of college scouting, and in fact, won three rings during his tenure there. We are joined right now by Monty Austinfort. Monty, good to have you in the jungle. How are you?
Hey, Romy, how you doing? I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today. Excited to be here.
Hey, listen, it is so good to finally talk to you and have you on the program. I appreciate you making time. Monty, let me start right here. You've had some time to process your second draft with the Cards. Now, you had a haul. You had a dozen draft picks to work with. What stands out to you about what you were able to accomplish and accumulate with this draft?
Yeah, I think, Romy, I think the big thing is the volume. Like you said, you know, hey, a couple trades that we made last year, and then also as we move forward into August of this year, it gave us a bunch of swings. And so, you know, when we had that much volume, it just creates options for us, and it creates opportunities. And typically, you just don't have that many, swings at the plate. And so, you know, with the guys that we added, we feel like we added talented players. We feel like we added good football character players, and just able to add a lot of them. And so, you know, you can never have enough good players. You never have enough good people. And we're excited to get these guys in here in just over a week and get working with them.
Monty Austinfort joining us. All right, so you used the fourth overall pick to take Marvin Harrison Jr., who is widely considered the best non-quarterback prospect in the draft. I spoke with his coach, Monty Ryan Day, who obviously raved about Harrison. Everybody does. I'm curious, when you watch film of Harrison, what do you see? What makes him special in your eyes?
Yeah, Romy, we've done a lot of work on Marvin here over the last couple of years, and I think the thing that stands out about him is just his ability to run routes, his ability to get in and out of breaks, drop his hips for a man who is his length. Usually you don't see people be able to run routes like he does at his size and length, and really just to see him over the last 2 years and the production that he's had at a high level at Ohio State and his ball skills and his ability to be open when he's not really open, you know, and just the sheer number of explosive plays and touchdowns that he was able to create there. So, you know, Marvin checked a lot of boxes for us on the field, and then, you know, really getting the chance to get to know him checked a lot of boxes for us off the field as well.
So, Monty, it's hard to know what to believe, if anything at all, when you get closer and closer to the draft, when you hear things, you see things. You know, as an example, in the days leading up to the draft, you said you like anybody in your position, I believe this now, anybody in your position, if the phone rings, you're going to have to pick it up. Was your phone blowing up in the minutes prior to making that pick? What was it like?
Yeah, Romy, I think most of those conversations really picked up during the day leading in. And, you know, people, we've had conversations, I'd say, the couple weeks leading up to the draft. And really, those ultimately get real serious there the day going in. And some teams are, hey, it's contingent on this guy being there. Or, hey, if this guy's there, then we'll be interested. If he's not, we won't be interested. And so, you know, you continue to have those conversations, much like we did last year's draft. And, you know, last year, you know, a situation when we were picking at number three presented itself that we felt was the best interest for us to do. And, you know, this year we had those conversations, and ultimately it wasn't enough to get us to move off of the pick at number four.
So, Monty, what's it like in your experience? As you look back over your entire career, what's it like? Like, how often have you been in a situation where it wasn't in the hours or days leading up to it where these things were kicked back and forth, but rather once you were on the clock and then all of a sudden you've got to make this really important decision? How do those decisions get made? What's the process like? How many people are involved?
Yeah, I think, Romy, I think those that happens pretty frequently. And, you know, I think for us, we have a few people involved in that process when we get a trade offer. You know, my assistant GM, Dave Sears, our assistant director of player personnel, Rob Kissel, our director of analytics, Charlie Adkins, all those guys are helping me weigh options. And we're weighing what the trade back looks like, what if it's a trade up, what that looks like, you know, and then when those opportunities present themselves, it's a numbers game. So, hey, we would be comfortable selecting this many players at our current pick. If we drop back, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 spots, what are the chances that that player is still going to be there, or what other players are we comfortable selecting if the wheels fall off and we start losing players that we were interested in selecting? So, you know, that happens. That happens quite often. And really it's just being prepared and knowing who we would be comfortable selecting and then just how far we would comfortably be ready to drop back.
Yeah, see, I would imagine these things are not done in a vacuum. Like, you've been looking at that board for months and months and months and months, and you have a draft philosophy, and you know where people come out on things. But I wonder, like, how heated does it get? I would imagine, Monty, you don't want people telling you what they think or what you think that you want to hear, but rather what you need to know. You want people to shoot straight. How heated in the moment can those conversations get?
They really don't get heated at all, Romy. I mean, I think really the way that we've done it the last 2 years, and I really like it, is the Friday before the draft, our board is done. We have stacked the board vertically, we have stacked the board horizontally, and you know, when we get to draft, it's just peeling those names off the board. And so once we get to draft night, we're no longer debating, hey, would you take this wide receiver or this corner, or hey, what about this guard between this tight in. Like, those discussions are done. On draft night, it's really just weighing the deals, weighing the opportunities that present themselves, and us making the call on the deal, not making the call on the player.
I like it. Thanks for letting us in the draft room. Monty Austin for joining us. All right, so you went down in the first round. You took Missouri defensive end Darius Robinson with the 27th pick. Safe to say you're not going to win in this league without a quarterback, and you're not going to win in this league without guys who can get to the quarterback. Robinson showed that he could do that in college. What else do you like about him?
Yeah, I think the thing that stands out with Darius is just his versatility. I mean, pretty unique guy in that this guy's played at a high level of competition in the best conference in the nation in the SEC. And, you know, in 2022, he was really an interior defensive lineman. And then in 2023, they asked him to drop a little bit of weight and stand up and play on the edge. And so for a man that got the size and length of Darius to be able to do that and stand up and be effective going against SEC tackles, and also show the ability to reduce inside and choke out blocks and rush from the interior. That's a unique attribute that you don't really get to see out of many people. So, you know, we were excited to add Darius because of his versatility, because of his size, his length, his disruptiveness, and really feel that he can be effective for us on all three downs against both the run and the pass.
Monty Austin for joining us. So before you go, a few more things, if you don't mind. You landed one of the top running backs in the draft in the third round. You got Florida State's Trey Benson. He lit up the combine when he ran that sub 4.440. So clearly this is a guy who can run away from you. He can also run over you. What types of things do you see him doing in your offense?
Yeah, really exciting for us to add Trey. You know, had a good career there at Florida State the last couple of years, productive back. You know, I think the thing that stands out about Trey is he's big and he's instinctive and he's got good feet and he can grind out those tough yards inside. But the thing that does stand out about him is when he does get a crease, the guy's able to hit it and can break some long runs, which is not typical in a bigger back like that. So, you know, the chance to add a back that we feel fits our offense and really complements a guy that we have on our roster already in James Conner, who had a phenomenal year last year for us, was one of our top offensive players. You know, with just the ability to add Trey to complement James just really puts our running game in a good position.
Yeah, clearly, Monty, you want to be on the same page with your head coach. I think you've got a really good young head coach, and his impact was very evident. I'm talking about Jonathan Gannon. His impact was evident both with you in Arizona and in Philly, where I thought Philadelphia really missed his presence last year. How much do you think Jonathan and his staff were able to change the culture of the franchise, even if it didn't translate to the level of winning that you were looking for last season?
Yeah, Romy, I think the thing that stands out with that and JG and his whole staff is the way that we finished the year last year. You know, the wins weren't there for us, and you know, the NFL season is long, and when you know, you start losing games and losses start piling up, and you're not in the playoff picture, you know, it's easy for guys to have one foot out the door and be looking towards the offseason. And really, our last five games of the year, we played our best ball of the year, and to go into Pittsburgh and go into Philadelphia, two playoff teams, and to get wins in really tough football environments. And then, you know, the last week of the season, Seattle was fighting for a playoff spot and needed the win. And you know, we played them to the wire and had a kick that just didn't go through. Otherwise, we would have won that game. You know, I think ultimately just the way that JG and his staff had prepared the team and the competitiveness and the toughness and the, you know, just ready to play each week, I think that you know, is really a reflection on what JG did and the motivation and the way that he runs our program. So, you know, it was a great way to end the season, but, you know, now it starts all over. And now we got to find a way to build the 2024 team, and we got to build off the momentum. But ultimately it's going to be what we do this year that defines our success.
Right. And then, Monty, what about building off Kyler Murray? He returned from his knee injury in November. He started the last eight games. He threw 10 touchdowns. He rushed for three more. As he gets ready for his sixth NFL season, where do you think he's at this stage of his career, and what's his outlook for this season?
Yeah, well, it's great, Romy, that he doesn't have to focus on rehab this year. You know, last year he's coming off a very significant serious knee injury, and so he was just laser focus last year on just getting himself into a health standpoint where he could, you know, get himself back out on the field. And on top of that, he's trying to learn a offensive system that's vastly different than anything he's ever played in. And so for him to go through rehab last spring and then into training camp and miss all of training camp and miss the first half of the season, I mean, that was challenging. That was challenging for him. And then to see him, similar to the discussion we had before, but similar to, you know, Kyler played his best ball over the last month of the season once he had got his legs under him a little bit, got more comfortable in the offense. So it's great to have him in a position this offseason where he can focus solely on the offense and getting on the same page with his receivers and his tight ends and not having to worry, focus solely on the rehab. So, you know, we're excited with where Kyler is at with the rest of our offense and really think that we can build on what we put in place last year.
So, Monty, you have crushed your Jungle Day. Leave me with this thought. So much has been made of the Bill Belichick tree and why his assistants have not fared better. I'm not going to belabor that. I will ask you this, though. The same cannot necessarily be said for the front office. You're in position, in my mind, to take a really big step this year. And then you've got Nick Caserio, who is just murdering it in Houston. What do you make of the job that legend Nick is doing with the Texans?
Yeah, I hear Nick is a big fan favorite in the jungle, so I'll have to give him a little hard time about that. But you know, Nick has been awesome down there in Houston. He means a lot to me, both professionally and personally. I mean, those guys are crushing it down there. And so, you know, I think the lessons that we learned in New England from Coach Belichick, just on roster construction and roster building and running an entire football program, I mean, I just can't thank him enough and just to be able to see that for the time that I was there. So, you know, I know those are lessons that both Nick and I took from New England, and we're both very grateful for that. But, you know, just really, really thankful for those opportunities and trying to apply some of those as we continue to build our program here out in Arizona.
No doubt. He's already got three rings to his name. He spent 14 years with the Patriots, 22 years overall in the NFL, and he is the GM of the Arizona Cardinals. And as I mentioned, Monty, you just crushed your Jungle debut. Really, really appreciate you. And that will not be the last time we do that, I hope. That was fun. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Romy, can't wait to get back here. You know, I love the jungle. Keep it up, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Great to have you, Monty. You nailed it. Just crushed it. As jungle debuts go, that's about as good as they get. Monty Austin Fort. And I think, you know, you see this in the NFL. Teams go from bad to good quickly. And they can go from good to bad pretty quickly. We've seen teams make massive leaps from one year to the next. Massive transformations. I can't guarantee it. But I'm looking at a team that won four games last year, and to his point, played their best ball at the end of the year when players could have been checking out. I love what they've done this offseason. I love what they're building from within. Kyler Murray is healthy. I think this is a team that's going to take a big step, a big leap forward. I think this is one of those teams that may have won four games last year, but could take a big, big step next year. Granted, tough division to do it in. But I like what I see. And I really like what I just heard. Monty Austin Ford joining us, general manager of the Cardinals. All right, still ahead. We do not have another interview until the last segment of the program. Mike Rupp, we're talking hockey. There's some big, big elimination games this evening. I've got at least one major Denver Nugget honk on the phone. And I've got the biggest Laker honk on the phone. Not that I needed to call him out, but I did, and he's ready. I'm talking about V and the Fee. And I also mentioned the last few weeks, isn't it interesting that his best calls have been made while the Lakers have had their most trouble? I don't think that's a coincidence. It seems inverted, right? But I don't think so. V and the Fee, guaranteed I will get him on the air next segment. What about you? 1-800-636-8686. That number is paid for by me. Take advantage of it. So let me ask you something. When you woke up this morning, how were you feeling? And I don't mean I'm pissed, Rome, the Lakers lost. I mean, how were you feeling physically? Were you feeling good? Because when you're feeling good, it affects pretty much everything. And then you get your true experience with life. Relief Factor understands this. Relief Factor did a deep dive into this. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. 100% drug-free. That's one of my favorite things about it. It was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. Look, who amongst us is not dealing with some pain right now? Whether it's in your neck or your back, maybe joint, maybe muscle pain, Relief Factor can help you feel even better. Relief Factor does not just mask the pain for a short time, it helps to reduce or even eliminate that pain. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. And in 3 weeks or less, you will know if it's working because you will feel the difference all day, every day. That's my experience. I feel better every day, all day. They sent it to me. I tried it. And that was my experience. In fact, over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Give it a try for yourself. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Save on your first order, 1-800-4-RELIEF. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Monty Austin Ford, if you need him. Crushed the draft. Crushed his jungle debut. Crushed Nick Caserio. It's fun, man. Good stuff. There's just something amazing about the way the jungle resonated. Not only way back in the day with all these young geniuses coming up through the Patriots system, but that it still resonates. And they know. Say what you want about Josh McDaniels. I always liked Josh. He was always good at the show. He knew the show. Nick clearly knows the show. Monty knows the show. I just think back in the day, those guys were able to somehow, some way, working long, long, long hours with the Patriots. I think they were able to somehow log some jungle time. You know, maybe it's like a lot of you clones in a way, except they're way more successful than you are. But I think that when you have the show, and you have the show at a certain part of your life, and maybe those were in some of your formative years, and you identify with the show and you like the show, you know, it's like anything else, like music, like TV shows. You identify with a certain genre or a certain bit of content or a certain experience at a certain time in your life. I just happen to think that we got really lucky with some of these Patriots and that they haven't forgotten and they've moved on to other things. And a lot of them are still killing it. And doing better. So I'm not surprised by that, but man, I'm hyped. I'm thrilled that that went as well as that went. Really happy about that. Also, I've got an update from Irv on X. And this is not the normal post that you would expect from Irv. Normally, Irv just post super innocuous things, super obvious things, things that any idiot could post, honestly. But Irv was the guy that saw things that nobody else was able to see. Irv had court vision that nobody else ever had. Irv could do things that nobody could do. So I would expect him to be able to explain what he saw that nobody else could see. Yeah, whenever this guy rushes to X, he posts the most innocuous, obvious things ever. That's not what this is. I'll get there in a minute. Gas, groceries, utilities, you name it. The price of everything is going up. And if you're stuck in a bad timeshare with rising maintenance fees, the financial burden can be crushing. It is time to get your finances in order and get the real facts about that timeshare you're stuck in and what your options are for getting rid of it. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has been helping families out of terrible timeshares for over a decade now and has put together a complete timeshare exit information kit that he will send you absolutely free. To date, over 30,000 families have trusted Wesley Financial Group to help them out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. And they might be able to help you too. To get the facts about how the timeshare industry works and what your options are for cancellation, simply call Wesley right now for your free timeshare exit kit and see how you can become timeshare free. Your number, 800-462-3333, 800-462-3333, 800-462-3333. All right, so before I go to the phones, at Magic Johnson posted the following. Quote, "The Lakers have nobody but themselves to blame. They wouldn't have been in the play-in game or finished as a seventh seed this season if they hadn't lost too many games because of load management." All right, so normally the guy is so obvious and so nebulous, I think he's trolling us. I used to think he was just like the worst ever at X. But then I think, you know what? There's no way a guy that smart, that pedigree, that successful would ever put up that many posts like that. He's trolling us. And it works. Because for a long time, I would react to all of it. And I had to admit, hey, Irv, you got me, dude. You're a great troll. But I don't know that he is. I think he might just be that obvious. But this isn't that. This is just wrong. The Lakers have nobody but themselves to blame. I take issue with that. They have the Nuggets to blame. The Nuggets are better. But what I really take issue with is if the fact that they're in the position they're in and they wouldn't have been in that position and it's only because of, quote, load management. Load management. Yeah, I bet LeBron finds that pretty amusing. Didn't LeBron play like 46 minutes every single night? Did LeBron ever come off the floor? Load management. He played 71 games. Where is the load management in 71 games? And in those games, he played huge minutes. How about AD? AD played more games than he's ever played. 76 regular season games. Where is the load management in that? D'Lo, 76 games. Austin Reeves, I think, played 200 games this year. Nobody played 82. Dude, what are you talking about, load management? Did LeBron ever come off the floor? See, dude, now you are a troll because that makes no sense at all. Torian Prince, 78 games. I'm looking for it, Irv. I don't see the load management. Hachimura was banged up. He still played 68 games. Find me the load management. Whose load were they managing?
Moron.
My man Gabe Vincent? He was hurt. That wasn't load management. What up, Gacho? Jackson Hayes? 78 games. What are you talking about? 70 even, my bad. There's some load management there. Oh, he only played 70. Irv also posted, And the number one reason the Lakers can't beat Denver in a seven-game series is because the Nuggets are mentally and physically tougher than the Lakers. Okay, that's the Irv I know. That's the Irv I know. Warmer. That's what I'd expect. And as soon as he gets to the 1A reason the Lakers can't beat Denver is because Denver is better, then I'll know for a fact it's him. Come on, man. Denver, here's what I expect from you, Irv, even though you are Irv and probably a billionaire and arguably one of the greatest athletes ever in their respective sport. What I really expect, though, well, let's face it, you may be the GOAT point guard. There's a discussion there. You are not the GOAT on the X. Because what I really expect is the Nuggets won because they reached four wins before the Lakers did. That's the kind of analysis I expect from you. What is this load management? They lost because of load management? What a troll. It worked. Dude, you got me again, Irv. Hook, line, and sinker. You got me to respond. Load management. Good one, bro. Really good one. You are doing it on purpose, and it worked. Let's go to the phones. Line number three. In the town of Menifee resides a young man named V. Yo, V, what up, brother?
Shaquille O'Neal, my brother. Good morning. Hey, why is everyone so bent? Everyone's so sad. You know, when the clocks hit zero yesterday, I popped open a bottle of champagne, sprayed it all over my family. I even went into my streets, lit the cars on fire, flipped them like I was having a parade, because you know what? It was a victory last night. Last night was the last game I get to ever see that moron, Diarrhea Darv, coach the Lakers. I'm so happy I don't have to stare at that forehead zit with his hands in his pocket and his stupid-ass time management. Hey, moron, we want you to challenge calls, but not calls in the first quarter on that Reeves three. And then eventually, of course, when there's 3 seconds left after Murray hits that shot, we have no timeouts to advance the ball. So you look like idiots with Torian Prince throwing up a half-court heave. Great job, Diarrhea Darv. And I see you working, Mike Malone. Malone giving credit to Ham saying, yo, Ham. Ham is a good coach. Yo, Ham is a great competitor. He has a hard job. Basically fighting to keep Ham's job so he can continue bullying Ham's bald ass for another 12 games. Hey, yo, Malone, I kind of like that. Let me try that. Hey, Jeff in Richmond, keep calling this show, brother. You're amazing. You're smart. You're skinny. I hope your gravy-filled heart doesn't explode the next time you get up off the toilet. Stay in the jungle with me, brother. Hey, great presser, Mike Malone. Now let me get some dumbass quotes, though, from Irv and Diarrhea Darv, who are blaming load management and injuries. And then Darv this morning, throwing players under the bus because they, quote, bleep the bed. They bleep the bed, Darv. D'Lo had career highs, AD career highs. And like you just said, Rome, all those guys did not miss any time for injuries. And what injuries are you talking about? What, you missed Gabe Vincent? The dude averaged 1 point per game this series. You missed Jared Vanderbilt? He sat his ass on the bench the whole game yesterday. He didn't see 1 minute, dumbass Darv. So who the hell are you talking about, Baldy? And then, of course, you got LeBag the Deuce. Bag the BS Deuce, my guy. We all know you're coming back next year. No one else can pay you $50 million. No one wants to pay you $50 million. You're only threatening to leave because you want the Lakers to draft Bronny, which, stupidly, we will, and then oblige you with a coach that you get to pick. So, LeBron, next year, there's no excuses. Nothing for you. You need to come out and dominate, which you did in this game. You did dominate this series at some point. But can you please close your pie hole on the mic and say something smart for once? So us Laker fans don't look like idiots trying to back up your LeBaggery. And then the last thing, man, Jim, Romeo, I'm done, dude. I'm sick to my soul. I can't talk Lakers anymore. I'm done with these fools. They're going to do something stupid in the offseason. I'll bring it up, which they will, because guess what? There's any reports coming out that they want Trae Young. Great. That'll work because he plays great D. Thanks for nothing, Lake Show. Laugh out loud. Out.
My brother, do what you're going to do. Do what you want to do. But I'm going to ask that you not do that.
laugh out loud.
And by that, I mean, don't stop calling the show about the Lakers when your best content ever is about the Lakers. I know it hits hard. I know it hits too close to home. And I know you take it personally. That's what makes you so good at it, V. You've gone completely next level in the last recent weeks. And it's because of the Lakers. So the one thing you don't want to do, my guy, is stop calling about the Lakers. I need you. Hey, look, I don't want to follow that drama and respond to that drama every single day, especially as it involves LeBag. But I need you to. V, I've come to really look forward to that phone call. Here's the thing about V. And V, I can even see the tide turning. There were so many people who didn't get your deal, who didn't get your act, who didn't like you. But your last couple of calls, I see the tide turning. People are responding favorably, dude. They like you. Suddenly now, they like your energy. Now, let me say this. Now, I was out in front of that, V. I had your back early on because I always liked your energy. And you say kooky things that make me laugh. But you know what? I'll tell you where this guy doesn't get the run he deserves. V is smart. I said it. He's smart. He knows the game. He makes really salient points. That point about them not having a timeout at the end of the game and not being able to advance the ball was important. He's good at this, and he's getting better. And V, the worse they play, the better you get. So I don't think that's a good strategy by you. I know you're taking it personally, and it's hard on you. But stop thinking about you, dude. Think about us. Think about the show. And even think about your place on the show. You're climbing the ladder, my guy. I mentioned you're already a top 10 finisher in the Smack Off. Keep coming. Keep coming. You've never sounded better. He's so right, too, about LeBron. That's what makes that whole thing so utterly baggish. LeBron acting like, yeah, I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it, bye. Dude, where are you going?
I'm not
going
to answer that.
Where are you going?
Appreciate it.
Maybe he opts out. But where are you really going? I know you're not going home. You're not going to retire. We know this. He's going to play. He's going to play another year, maybe two. The Lakers can offer him a max deal for 3 years. He's got the hammer in his hand. Even at age 39, he's still running that franchise. He's still calling that shots, those shots. He's got all the leverage. He can leverage them into taking Bronny. Where are you going, dude? You're going to hire the next coach. You're going to get them to draft your kid. You're going to stay here in L.A. You're going to run the franchise. Like, go where? Where's he going to go? Philadelphia? Where are you going to go? And V's right. Of course, Trae Young is the name being bandied about right now because he'll run back on defense. All right, nice job, V. Make sure he got racked, Alvy. We're going to talk hockey.
Rack him.
At the end of the program. Mike Rupp will be joining us then. Meantime, get up in here. 1-800-636-8686. Cardinal fans, happy with Monty Austin for it. You should be. He did a great job. Still ahead. OKC, I have not forgotten about you. The Thunder are going to get their run. I'll get there. And the New York Giants. I love this notion that maybe they were going to move up, but not to get a quarterback. Oh, no. They love their quarterback. Bug-eyed Danny turnovers. Oops, broke my own rule. Personal appearances are not show fodder. Danny turnovers. No, they were not moving up to get one of those quarterbacks. They already have their quarterback, if you believe it.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Clones, as you know by now, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. That way you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? All right, so I can't lie. I'm doing the show right now, and I'm checking out my program monitor. Mystery Mike is in the other room, switching cameras. That's Mystery Mike. So now he's a little less mysterious. Getting ready for the X launch. Hey, Alvy, I see you. Hey, Tommy, what's up? You're waving at me, but dude, I'm the only one seeing you. Nobody else is. What? Yeah, there you go. Okay, I like it. Be quiet, Avi. He's just messing with the graphics. Mystery Mike's got Daryl Strawberry joining the Jim Rome Show. Actually, I love straw. Be quiet, Avi. I like Doc, too. I always like Dwight Gooden in the third hour. I hope. Kevin Elster tomorrow. Nah, you know who I want? I want Mitch. Kevin Mitchell. I'm still terrified of Mitch. I'm not even playing around. I mean, like, I literally am afraid of Mitch. Who's not? It's Alvin. Jeez. Hey, Mitch, that was Alvin, not me. Wally Backman. Kevin Mitchell made the greatest defensive play I've ever seen in my life. There will never, ever be a play better than that. Hey, lest we forget, Mitch was the MVP. All right? And a scary, intimidating dude. I love Straw. Straw coming out of like Crenshaw. You find me a more beautiful swing, a more pure player. I mean, Straw was the ultimate phenom. What kind of 21-year-old kid was going to be able to handle the apple at that age and that adulation and that run and all those things at their disposal? It's no wonder they came off the tracks. Who could handle that? I hope Straw is coming on. It says it on my lower third. Graphics look tight, Mystery Mike. Hey, Tommy, how good does that look? Hey, Mystery Mike, I'm not sure about all those purple stars coming at me, but anyway, Mike is in the other room.
A million.
Practicing, doing some things, and I decided, he and I, that I should get a look at the show. Because you know what? I've been in a box. I've been in an audio box now for several weeks without any kind of video after for years doing the TV simulcast. So I wanted to see what it would
practice.
Look like. We need practice.
We're talking about practice.
Talking about practice. That's what we're not doing. We're practicing. Not the game. That all right. So if you're wondering about that, soon you will have all of you will have access. You just have to go to the X platform and look for the show. Soon. Romy, you are wrong about Magic. He's always been great at X. Especially the unprotected kind. Sincerely, Kareem.
What is X?
No.
Jeff C and NC. You know what, dude? That's not cool. That's too far. That's not as far as the other famous call. Let's just say that's adjacent. That's attained the HIV adjacent. Neither are okay. Ed Romy's my homie. Abigail's burner number 4. Apparently, Abigail has been ejected from X multiple times. She's running through burners. Quote, I like that V and the Fee doesn't only call in during the smack off. He makes the show better. He absolutely makes his show better.
War Lady Clone.
You do too, Abby. Regardless of what burner phone you're on. You make it better. He makes it better. But Burn not me. Everybody thinks so. At TZ Tex writes, another 5 minutes from V with the same take as every week. Yes, we know you don't like Ham. He is not the problem. They do not have the talent 1 through 5. ChatGPT, some new material, bro. Ouch. ChatGPT, some new material, bro. Ham is not the problem. I mean, I respect it. I don't agree with it. Rome Slice. Is it possible to contract an STD in your ear after listening to VD? in the fees, wacky-ass calls. If so, we need a dose of jungle penicillin. Regards, that's the whack. Clones. Signed, Geoff. Geoff, if it were in fact possible to contract an STD in your ear after somebody participating on this program, we'd all be walking around with the herp in our ears from you, dude. I'd have gonorrhea in one ear and the herp in the other ear and syphilis coming out my nose. Geoff, come on, man.
Come on.
Come on. I got some reaction. I'm always looking for reaction, right? Quickly, let's go to H-Town. Oh, looky here. The greatest clone of them all, Nick Caserio. I'm guessing he wants to react to Monty. Nick, what's going on?
Romy, what's happening, man? How you doing?
Good, dude. How about you?
Good. I know Monty called me out in the jungle. So in all seriousness, Monty was great. I would just say, have tremendous respect and appreciation for Monty. I think you saw that. He's not only, he's a great executive, he's a better person. So awesome of the clones to be able to hear Monty and what he's doing down there in Arizona. Certainly appreciative of him. As far as the clones are concerned, I know we're getting up against it here pretty quickly, but just preparing for the smack off, just, I know everybody's got a song that they want to, you know, present and sing about whatever their topic is. The reality is two guys have permission, or should have permission, for songs on the show. Parody Larity is one, and then I Phrase the other one. So other than those two, leave your songs by the wayside. So War Michael's dad and War the Lakers having fun in Cabo. I'm out.
Holy crap. Nick Caserio, if you need him. Not only the best executive in the NFL, but the greatest clone ever. War Michael's dad, War the Lakers in Cabo, and only two people really deserve permission to sing in the jungle. I Afraidy and Parody Larry? Larry has support. Not only does Larry have support, but he has support from Nick Caserio. Hey, Nick, you did me no favors with that, bro. I'll never be able to shake the guy now. Nick Caserio, the legend, just green-lit Larry. Holy, oh! Rack him.